loses what related to Abraham and Ishmael. And this is the end of their story, and starts with Isaac and his sons. The chapter has many useful things to think about, and as we go through it, the Lord will guide us to have spiritual benefit from that. Chapter 25 says, Abraham again took a wife, and her name was Keturah, and she bore him this number of sons. And even the names of the sons that she bore for him. The age of Abraham that remarried to Keturah was very, very old. Very old. Because must be after Sarah's death. Sarah passed away at the age of 127. So he must be 137 with their way of calculating the age. Many of the fathers commented on this in a positive way. First, the name Keturah very likely is the drops of fragrance, sweet fragrance oil. Maybe that in Arabic, Atra. Have you heard Atra? And the known meaning in Western books is the fragrance oil or fragrance smell or something like that. Nice smell, sweet aroma. And it's symbolic. Many of the fathers spoke of that as Abraham, a man of integrity, and Keturah is the sweet aroma of this. A man that keeps his integrity will have this sweet aroma of his virtues. That's on the symbolic meaning. On the practical meaning, some fathers spoke, like Saint Augustine, said that this is giving an evidence that the remarriage is blessed by God when it's necessary. We know that Saint Paul spoke of young widows to be remarried. We know that when a young widow, she or he, would like to remarry, the church should bless that. So if any valid second marriage happened, the church blesses that. And observe that at that time there was no teaching about celibacy or about self-control in the physical needs. There was no teaching like that. So Abraham remarried at that old age, and again some of the fathers spoke of the being very productive and like symbolic, a man of integrity will produce. So he produced a number of children. One of the fathers, which I think Mary Abram the Syrian, said that he was fulfilling also the prophecy of him having many children all over the whole world, because his children will move east and they will progress in one of the names that you may read is Midian, for example. Midian is the group of people that lived in Sinai, and they protected Moses when he escaped from Pharaoh. So they were sons of Keturah, were knowing God. So it was spreading the word of God through the world. So there's nothing negative about the fact that Abraham remarried and at this old age. Especially, I repeat that there was no teaching about celibacy or self-control in terms of physical needs. There was nothing like that. And by the way, this family didn't look at marriage at all to be physical pleasure or something like that. The evidence, somebody like Isaac, he married at the age of 40. He was not married at the time that he is in need of sexual things. At the age of 40, he got married. and there was nothing that prevents them from having more than one wife. There was no teaching of one wife at that time, but they didn't do that. So they were looking at the whole idea of love and having children and the blessed. So there was great blessing for Abraham to be that productive at the old age, to have many children carrying the name of God and spreading their faith. In verse 5 says, and Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. But Abraham gave gifts to the sons of concubines, which Abraham had while he was still living. He sent them eastward, away from Isaac his son, to the country of the east. So it seems that the only legitimate marriage was Sarah's, and that's the only legitimate heritage. So the only one that got heritage from his father was Isaac. The rest had only gifts, and they left. We don't know how generous he was with them, but it's clearly that they were happy to receive something and they left. They left eastward while he was living. Some people say that it's a good habit for elderly parents to distribute their heritage to their children while they are still alive, or at least to guarantee how it will be done after their departure, such that they keep peace and happiness in the family. Isaac received everything as being the son of the promise, but he was not greedy anyway. He was not after financial help. In verse 7 it says, this is the sum of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, 175 years. Remember that he left his country at the age of 75. So he lived 100 years in the land of promise. Then Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man full of years. The expression full of years is always used for those people that lived good life. Shortly he'll speak about Ishmael's death, he wouldn't say full of years. Old age, yes, but not full of years. Full of years is the feeling that I'm satisfied, I'm happy. The saints, even if they pass away at young age, they pass away happily. So it's not the blessing of number of years, it's the blessing of being satisfied that I had enough. So the saints always, no matter young or old they are, when they depart with that feeling full of years. Observe in the Bible, whenever they speak about the saint passing away, the word full of, even the Synaxarium use that expression, full of years. In Arabic, Shab'an Ayyam, satisfied, enough, like the days on earth are enough for him. And was gathered to his people. Gathered to his people physically in the grave and spiritually with them in heaven. So the body is gathered with the bones of his forefathers and the spirit with the spirit of the saints before him. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite. That's the same place that Sarah was buried. And observe that the two sons came together to bury the dead. It seems that Abraham, in his wisdom, in his old age, could accommodate once more Ishmael to make peace between the two sons. So both of them came to bury their dead in peace in that place that their mother was buried there. There Abraham was buried and Sarah his wife. And it came, why they were interested to be buried together? Some people say that there was that belief that when we resurrect together. So we like to be buried together such that we get resurrected together. Until now this habit is there. And actually Saint Augustine spoke about the respect that we should give to our fathers and forefathers in burial. that it's not proper, that's from Saint Augustine in his Essential Fifth or so, speaking about the importance of giving enough respect to the burial of our. Some people ask why not to reduce the process by no need for burial. We can burn the body or something like that. I think Saint Augustine in his comment says that that body that shared the spirit in the glory of God should be also respected in the way it's buried. So the Bible teaches us that with great respect they did that, that they were buried together in the hope that one day they'll be resurrected together. In verse 11, and it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt at Beer Lahai Roi. We spoke before about the meaning of this Beer. Beer is the well. You know, in Arabic, Beer, well. Well is Beer in Arabic. Beer of Lahai Roi, the vision. So it is the well of vision. Some translations say that it is the well of vision. And it is meaningful that Isaac lived on the beer, on the well of vision. And many of the fathers of the church commented on that to be the place that we like to live in. Like Origen spoke a lot about that. If there is a place of vision, I will live there. And one of the fathers, I don't remember who, said that this is the church. The church is the well of vision. We can only see something related to God in the church. So we live there, the place of blessing. The blessing of Isaac will be more evident in the chapter to come, chapter 26, which may be next week. Next week, we'll have the Eve of St. Mark. So we'll not have a meeting like that next week. We'll join St. Mark feast. And we are inviting two priests. One priest will speak in English, which is Abuna Joshua, will speak in English about St. Mark. And then Abuna Bishoy will lead a prayer meeting. And when Abuna Bishoy leads prayer meetings, everyone enjoy because of the hymns and things like that. So even if it's in Arabic, you'll enjoy the environment. So please come next week and invite other people to St. Mark Eve of the feast. Feast of the St. Mark will be Tuesday week, and the Eve will be after 7 days. So we don't have that. But the week after, we'll speak about chapter 26, and the chapter 26 is all about the blessing of Isaac. If some one of you will have a homework to calculate how many times the word blessing was attached to Isaac in chapter 26, you will be surprised. Every second verse, so there's a blessing. When I start speaking about the fathers, the patriarchs of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, I said that every one of them was specialized in a special covenant with the Lord. Abraham is the covenant of integrity, and the outcome is friendship with God. Isaac is the covenant of obedience, and the outcome is blessing. The relationship between blessing and obedience, I'll prove it when we come to that after 2 weeks. I'll show you from the Bible, different sources, that this is a very important teaching of the Bible. Obedience equals blessing. If you obey, you'll be blessed. But let us continue this chapter. This chapter is mainly the main teaching that we'll get from chapter 25 is the concept of the birthright, which will come shortly. So Isaac lived at the place of vision. He was a man of meditation. He was a man that was expecting God to speak to him. In verse 12, it says, Now this is the genealogy of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar, the Egyptian, Sarah's maidservant, bore to Abraham. And these were the names of the son of Ishmael, by their names according to the generation. The firstborn is so and so, there are 12 of them. Were they all boys? Very likely that they were girls, but they didn't mention their names. The Bible doesn't mention all the names, by the way. It always mentions the names that have stories. why the names of men were mentioned, not women, because after that each name was a nation. So it's really was given to us to know the nations, the different nations. The sons of Ishmael lived in, as it says now, these were the sons, in verse 16, these were the sons of Ishmael, and these were their names by their towns and their settlements, 12 princes according to the nation, to the nations. These were the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years, and breathed his last and died, and was gathered to his people. But there is nothing about being satisfied with that expression of full of years is not there. Expression of full of years, satisfaction of the years is only for the saints. Ishmael lived a normal life, but not as a saintly life. They dwelt from Havilah as far as Shur, which is the east of Egypt, as you go towards Assyria. He died in the presence of his brethren. So they lived in Sinai, they lived in Arabia, and they are the Arabs. These are the nations of the Arabs, the 12. And many people studied the names and how they progressed and how they are now in Yemen, in different tribes in the Arabia. So these are the sons of Ishmael, which are blessed by God. And the meaning of the blessing is that one day they'll accept Christ. There's no blessing forever without knowing Christ. So we have that belief in our mind that one day all the Arabs will be for the Lord. This is the genealogy of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah as wife, the daughter of Bethuel of Syria, the Syrian, of Padam Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. He married at the age of 40 and stayed childless 20 years. When he had his children, he was 60 years. So 20 years he was praying. There's something strange that the whole family, observe that the whole family, Abraham's wife, long time until she had child. Isaac's wife, long time until she had. Jacob's wife, Rachel, long time until she had child. And then this is repeated again with St. John the Baptist, repeated with Samson's mother. It seems that these children of prayer, out of prayer, become very holy. The mother and the father keep praying, and the expression in verse 21, now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife, in other translation is with his wife. There's one nice translation that says he pleaded with his wife. But the commentary of the father is that the Lord grant, or I think who among the fathers commented on that, he said that the children were offered to Rebekah for her patience and for her husband's prayer. So she was patient, and she didn't rebel against God that he didn't give her child for a long time. So her patience and the prayer of her husband. And the Lord listened to her. There is no prayer that lasts years without reward. So the reward came after 20 years. But it came with great, great blessing that Rebekah conceived. Verse 22 it says, but the children struggled together within her. And she said, if all is well, why am I like this? This expression, if all is well, why am I like this, is not known. Actually, some of the books say that it's an old Hebrew that is not understood. No one understands that. That's why this expression has been translated in different translations in a very different way. One translation say, why I live? But all the translations are expression of her agony. She was in agony because it seems that these two fetus in her tummy were fighting and causing her to be incapable to breathe. Or it was hard, very hard pregnancy. And she was not happy by that, and she said, why is that happening to me, and so on. By the way, these two sons were very strong. We know that Jacob was capable to carry a load that many people couldn't carry on the well. We know that his brother, Esau, was a very strong man. So they were fighting all the time before they were born in their mom's tummy, and she was in agony. So she went to inquire of the Lord. The word she went, in other translation, she departed. She left the place to inquire, which opened the door for people to comment, what's that? Some of the fathers commented on that where can she go? God is everywhere. Why she departs? The only the commentary that I really believe that is the one that is true is by Mary Abraham, the Syrian, that he said that she must have went to Melchizedek, because he was still alive. He was still alive. Because she wouldn't bypass her father-in-law, Abraham, who is known to be the man of God, except for a higher. The only one higher than him was Melchizedek. He was priest of the Almighty. And Abraham gave him his tithes, which means that he recognized him to be the higher priest before God. By the way, the history or the books say of him to be celibate. There was no teaching about celibacy, but he was celibate, Melchizedek. So we don't know for him children or parents. So it looks as if the man of God, celibate, living in a cave, the style of Elijah, style of Saint Anthony and things like that, is a bit more glory than a married person with a family and so on. So she went to inquire very likely from Melchizedek to ask him what's happening to me. And he said to her, God said to her, the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. The older is Esau, who came a few seconds before Jacob, because they came one after the other, not separated by any time. Jacob was catching the heel of his brother as they came out, but the one that came first is Esau, so he's the firstborn. And that was the prophecy, and the prophecy was fulfilled. Verse 24 says, so when her days were fulfilled, again, the expression when her days were fulfilled was spoken three times in the Bible. Once for Saint Mary, once for Elizabeth, and once for Rebecca. And not more, not less. And I think one of the fathers, I don't remember who among the church fathers, was commented that this looks as if it's an expression that the time is appointed, that the Lord has a time for these people. Christ will not be born at any time. There's a fullness of time. At the fullness of time, it happened. At the fullness of time, Jacob came. At the fullness of time, St. John the Baptist came. So that expression is special. So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed, there were twin in her womb. And the first came out red. Red is the same word like Edom. So he is the father of the Edomites. Edom is Esau, another name for him. But it means that he is red. He was like hairy garment all over. So they called his name Esau. Afterward, his brother came out and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. Jacob in Arabic, Yaqub. Yaqub came from heel. The heel in Arabic, had a heel in Arabic, what's the heel in Arabic? Uq, Yaqub, the heel. You know that expression that the one that ate with me raised his heel against me? Like to kick. The heel is Uq, Yaqub. As I say that we are lucky that we know Arabic, because Arabic and the Hebrew at that time was one language. And possibly the Arabic didn't drift much as the Hebrew. I'm not sure what's the Hebrew now for. Of course, there's common. If you listen to somebody speaking Hebrew, you'll catch many words. If you know Arabic, I mean. But Yaqub means the one that catches the heel. So as if he is chasing. He doesn't leave his brother, lives alone in peace, catching him. Don't go away. I have to struggle. Isaac was 60 years old when he bore them, when she bore them. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of field, but Jacob was a mild man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. That was definitely a form of mistake in that family, to show some favoritism. The father loves one and the mother loves the other. The father loves the man, son of man, hunter, strong, bringing food to the family. The other is mommy's pet, sitting at home, cooking with mom and things like that. And the start of trouble, of course. A bit of lack of wisdom that affected them. In verse 29 it says that now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, "Please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary." Therefore his name was called Edom, because it was actually red lentil. Whether he was called Edom because of that, or because he was red, anyway, the color red, Edom is red. The meaning of Edom is red. But Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright as of this day." Like now, today, sell me your birthright. That birthright, we should understand what does it mean. The birthright is that he is the firstborn. So he has the right to be the one that in heritage will have double, the one that is really the leader in the family after the death of the father. He will be the leader. But this is not the issue, because the reality is that Esau lived more rich than Jacob. As you'll see later, that Jacob bowed down in front of Esau. He called him master. And he actually in possession maybe was stronger. He had 400 militant servants to help him in fights. That's Esau. He possessed the land. And Jacob was not that rich compared to him. So it was not the money or even the authority, because he was authority, Esau was authority. It was mainly the spiritual side of it. Because the last verse in this chapter says that Esau despised the birthright. He said, "Who cares?" Especially he said that, "I'm dying. Who cares about following generation?" The birthright was that he's in his lineage, Christ will come. They knew that Christ is coming. The Messiah is coming. They knew that this is a promise. They are the chosen family out of this race. And it's important to have that blessing. The Lord will bless his descendants. Whose descendant will be blessed? Esau ignored that, despised that, said that, who cares about that? I'm dying. What happens after my death doesn't concern me. Give me the food. So it was not really the hunger that made Ian die. It was the lack of respect for that concept. The first born or the birthright will give him the feeling that I am the priest in the family. I am the one that will receive communication with God. So issue to him, this is not an important thing. This is, it opened the door widely to all the father to speak and speak about that. Because that's really the main teaching for us tonight. We have a birthright. We are born from the church by baptism to have the possibility to live forever with the Lord. We can be very unwise, like Ishu, to despise it and sell it for pleasures. The whole idea is pleasure. Some food is hunger, desire. Normally we sell our birthright because of desires. Normally. We lose our birthright as Christian, as belonging to Christ, as being born from the Spirit by desires. The desire of wealth, the desire of sex, the desire of food, like this man, will make us sell it and despise it. And this is the most dangerous thing that can happen to us. We have to appreciate the spiritual gifts. Because sometimes we really ignore completely the spiritual gifts by living with the hope of financial or physical wealth, possessions, health, and so on. And we forget the most important thing, which our birthright, that we are born from God. So this is a very symbolic thing of a decision that Ishu did. The Bible after that speaks about Ishu that he cried for repentance. He couldn't receive it back because you made the decision. You made the decision. You despised the birthright. Then you lost it. True that Jacob should not have done that. Should not have utilized the weakness of his brother. He knew from his mom that there was a prophecy, very likely through Melchizedek, that he will be the firstborn. Actually, that concept of firstborn is clear now from the Bible that it's not the physical way. It was repeated many times that the younger brother was the one that was blessed. This was repeated a number of times in the Bible. That it's not the firstborn as such. It is the one that accepts and appreciates the birthright. The one that appreciates the spiritual thing. So Jacob was having that vision. He was not after money, because Jacob didn't enjoy money, by the way. His life was always in danger. He didn't have any respect as really the prince of the family. He was not. The prince of the family was Ish. All his life was the strong and the wealthy and the owner of the land and so on. But the only thing that he benefited from that is that he is the father of the tribes. He is the father of the tribes. One of the tribes will have the lineage that will bring Jesus, the Messiah. So he appreciated that and they received it. But Ishu ignored that. And that's the teaching for us tonight. That appreciate the spiritual gifts. Appreciate that you are born from Christ. That you have that chance to be implanted in the tree of life. Much more than being appreciative of some wealth or pleasures. And also the other teaching is that the trick that the devil happens with us, which are the desires. That's why we always say that asceticism is a gift from the Coptic Church or the Orthodox Church to her followers to be ascetic. Because the ascetic is the only type of people, ascetic people are the only type of people that can say no to desires. They learn it to live by saying no to the desires. Those are the ones that gambling will never conquer them. The pornography will never conquer them. Money will never, they never bow, they never buckle under the pressure of the desire, because they are aesthetic. Aesthetic means that I ignore the desires of this world, I have more valuable desire, which is my birthright to live in the Lord. We'll just continue reading, possibly verse 32 again, and Ishu said, look, I am about to die, so what is this birthright to me? That's exactly the despising of the spiritual thing. Who cares about Christ coming from my lineage or not? Who cares? I'm dying. If he comes from my descendants or not, what's that to me? He has never thought of eternal life. He has never thought of heaven, that he is the father of the Messiah. This is not important for him. What's important for him is the nice food that he can eat. And the pity is that it is atz. Yani, it's just lentil. Yani, had it been a roasted thing, yani, maybe that we can forgive him, but try atz. Yani. You can go to that. And then, verse 33 says, then Jacob said, swear to me as of this day. He is really Jacob, like catching, trying to snatch something before he changes his mind. Now, swear to me. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose and went his way. This is expression of who cares? Who cares about that? Thus, Esau despised his birthright. May the Lord protect us from this ignorance. May the Lord teach us the beauty of having the best right to be the children of God. May the Lord give us the wisdom not to bow down under desires such that we said. I say that because unfortunately I saw that. I saw people, for example, for marriage. They are not happy saying their marriage. Then they say, I like to remarry. Why? To enjoy a number of years. Okay, this is exactly despising the best right. You are the son of God, living for God. What's this number of years will do to you? We saw that. I saw a case like a man in his 60s, that he left his wife and knew another lady. And it was shock to the whole family, shock to me personally, because I knew him. So these people are exactly like style of Ish. Who cares about this? Who cares about what happens after my death? Let me enjoy the number of years that I'm living on earth. We have that wisdom. And as I say, that if you read the fathers, what they wrote, St. John Chrysostom quote the line. You know St. John Chrysostom. And he kept saying how we should appreciate the fact that you belong to Christ. How this is the honor of you. Not to think of possessions or money or desires of this world to be the thing that gives you the happiness. The real thing that you should be. And this is something in favor of Jacob. Like Jacob understood. He was eager about that. Really, what benefit does he get from the fact that after thousands of years, Christ will come from his lineage? Not on earth at all. Like Esau was right. So I'm dying. Who cares about my following generation? But if you think of eternity, if you think of being with God one day, you understand the honor of somebody like Jacob compared to Esau that lived for his desires. Do you have any question? Yes, Mark, please.
I've got two questions. One of them is short. Firstly, do you think Jacob would have told Isaac about the selling of the birthright? Would Isaac have known that Esau sold his birthright?
I don't think so. He wouldn't dare to do that. He wouldn't dare to do that. I think he thought that this may come from God in some miraculous way. That you swear by who? By God. You swear by God that you don't care. Then the Lord, I have the right now. I have that right. He had the feeling that this is something spiritual more than his dad knowing or not knowing. I don't think so. Because he was scared from his dad, knowing that his dad is in favor of his brother. But definitely there was an element from his mother pushing him about this idea.
The other thing I wanted to ask was, why did the Lord create this environment of controversy a very simple thing for him to have Jacob born first. He has the birthright. He has the blessing without deceit.
Yeah.
Why does he?
The Oregon always speak of those people to be not just, they are not fictitious stories, they were people that happened, exist, but still they are saying something much deeper than their life story. Something for us to understand that these two brothers are the style of the conflict between the body and the spirit, the conflict between people outside the church and in the church, the conflict between the majority of people being powerful and strong on earth and the limited number of people that follow the Lord. So for us, there's a lot of teaching. You know, some of the commentators of the fathers, like Origen, he has never explained the Bible the way like we explain it. He always thought that these are not stories to amuse us. There must be deeper symbolic teaching behind that. So Esau and Jacob are the model that we should understand, that these are the model of the church. People in the church are the same. Like the Rebecca's body is the church, having the two types. And there's the conflict between two. People will be like of, and that conflict is natural to be happening. If a group of people are interested in the world and a group of people are interested in the spiritual things, then there's a natural conflict that should happen between them. And also the fact that the Lord likes to show us that we have always a chance, that even if I'm not the firstborn. In fact, in a sense, the birthright is for the Jewish people more than for us. We are adopted. We became having that birthright by adoption more than the truth. We are given that as a concession from God. And the ones that have the best right, which is the Jewish people, they rejected Christ and they lost it. So sometimes this gives us the feeling that the Lord can give me that even if it is naturally not mine. But if I choose, I receive. Do you have any further questions or comments? Thank you. Next week we'll attend the church with the... There was a bit of discussion, should we make the English service and the Arabic service separately on the eve of St. Mark, or we make them combined. I'm not sure what's the best thing. I thought that if we make it combined, but the service will be mainly in English, such that we'll have a nice procession. And please come to be like simple person carrying an icon. Ladies and gentlemen, we do that, carrying a candle in the procession of St. Mark's feast. St. Mark for us is a very beloved person because he died to make us Christian. And he died in Egypt, despite that he's not Egyptian. He came to help us and he died for giving us that faith. And we have a strong relationship to St. Mark. St. Mark's spirit is always giving something all over the world. Abuna Bshoy was telling me that, or telling the church something. He said, yeah, it's St. Mark church. Like, whenever it's St. Mark church, it's always the church that gives to other churches, donates, offers. It's always. See it all. And those people who serve at St. Mark church in any place, wherever they go, they will be St. Mark church, always. Like, there's something about St. Mark collecting his children, yeah. And he made a lot of nice things to us in this area. I think he's the patron, he's the defender of the church for many reasons that we need. So it's nice to have a night for St. Mark, which is the eve of his martyrdom, which is coming Monday. So please come and we spend a good time in the church. Abuna Joshua is a sweet young man that all of us know him possibly before priesthood. He is very willing to serve the Lord. The Lord blessed him a lot financially. I'm not sure if you know that or not. He's sacrificing a huge financial situation to become a priest. So I think that he doesn't like me to say any details, but he is like that. He is sacrificing huge financial gain to become a priest. He's very modest. He's nice. He give us a talk next week, and then it's very sweet to attend prayer meeting to Abu Nabshoy. He likes that the church to be only on candles. We open the curtain, and he hides somewhere inside the sanctuary, and he just starts some hymns. The majority of them will be in Arabic, but that's you and is familiar to you, and some of the words are very simple. He chooses simple words such that if your Arabic is not good, you still can catch the meaning of the song or something like that. If you can help us by injecting some English hymns, would be great. But during the procession, we like all of us to be joyful, carrying icons. So please let friends come and spend good time together on next Monday. I'm not sure, it may start about the same time, maybe 7:30. Abu Nabshoy will start the prayer meeting 8:45. Before that, Abu Najashua may start his speech 7:30. Now let's say a hymn while you are standing and we'll find a prayer.
Your children, O Lord, and you allow us to call you Father, even though we've done nothing to deserve it. We thank you, Lord, for this great blessing. We ask you to please help us keep it in our lives. Help us feel your presence in our hearts, everything that you do. Continue to bless our lives, O Lord, as you did Jacob. Continue to be with us as you were with Jacob, and help us truly learn so much from his life. We ask you, O Lord, to stand by us and to protect us in everything we do, and help us during these holy 50 days. And please appear to us as you did to all your followers, O Lord.
Amen. Our Father, who art in
heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.